I have right? evidence that it's going to fry our brain holes.
Everything fries your brain holes.
Yeah. It's Monday, October 28th, 2019. It's time for the show that condenses the weekly geek happenings into 60 minutes or less. This is the Noob Shelter Podcast, episode 17. Really witty to say tonight, and recording almost live deep underneath the city of Tacoma, Washington, here in the Noob Shelter Bunker. Good evening to you guys and all and ladies. I am Matt Fugitive.
From the moist north, well, at least more north than these guys, I got no links to drop and no chat to master, but it's Freebird.
And sitting on my on top of my ivory throne in a brand new, well, new to me chair, in my skyscraper in Puyallup, south of everyone else on this show, it's Fade to Black. I hate you.
Hi, guys.
What's up?
Oh, man. Wow. So, Mike, I got a question to ask you. Was that that chair that was like in pieces when I came by your house this week, was that the chair that is new?
That is correct, sir.
Because I was wondering why you had like half a chair sitting on your floor.
I had half a chair sitting on my floor because the piston was busted. The hydraulic piston was, or not.
Oh, I
hate
that.
The pneumatic piston was busted. It wouldn't actually hold air, so I had to replace it. And I finally found my pipe wrench to be able to replace it because I got the bottom half off the wheelbase, but the top half, the actual piston itself, was it took a pipe wrench to actually remove from the bottom of the chair.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it sucked. But I was able to get it off, and now I have my I have my chair sitting on rollerblade wheels.
Oh, okay. Rollerblade wheels. So, cool.
Yeah.
I love those wheels. Those are so nice.
Yeah.
I had a chair that was like that. It was my ex-wife's chair. But the arms kept going out, and then eventually the hydraulic mechanism on the chair went out, so I ended up having to get rid of it.
I just replaced the piston, the pneumatic piston, and the wheels actually were a replacement set.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and it's pretty much a newer-ish chair. It works perfectly fine, and
sweet.
I get to get rid of that plastic piece of crap office mat contraption.
Wow.
Stupid thing.
Well, that's hey, cool. Oh, and I wanted to, while we're doing the podcast, wanted to give a big shout out to you, Mike, for the loaner. Mike has a vintage real Ghostbusters proton pack and trap that he loaned my son, who's actually being a Ghostbuster this year, for Halloween. So big shout out to you, man. Thanks for that. He's having a blast
problem.
With it. So.
That's... Yeah, I saw the picture and I knew I had it in storage somewhere, so I figured I'd reach out and see if he wanted to be all even cooler.
After the first to thank you, I'm going to get you some new stickers for that proton pack.
That would be freaking fantastic.
I found them
man.
Online. I'm going to hook you up, so it'll be my treat.
Okay, just as long as you put them on as well.
Oh, I'll put them on.
Because I suck at that.
I'm really good at putting on stickers. If you don't mind me holding on to it a little bit longer, I'll make sure it gets restickered by the time it gets back to you.
I'll do it. I'm good with that.
What else have you been up to,
Mike?
Not
like I need it for anything.
What else have you been up to?
Not a whole lot. I recently, my Xbox Live subscription, my gold, well, basically Game Pass Ultimate, expired. So I've been rocking it out on Fallout 4 recently.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah,
until I can get it renewed.
My gold does not expire until 2020 of next year. I think it was like June. So,
shut up.
Well, I bought like a year's supply of Xbox Live before they did the whole Game Pass thing, like the whole combo Game Pass thing, the Ultimate, whatever the hell they call it, Ultra. So I did that thing that John mentioned, the dollar, and it upgraded me all the way to Game Pass Ultimate, whatever.
Yeah.
Till like 2020. So I threw on an extra couple months.
Yeah, I did that, and it was actually pretty awesome because I had 2 months in gold, and when I upgraded for a dollar, it gave me an additional month.
Nice. But,
yeah, it was nice how that worked out.
Yeah, I know.
It was through October. So
Xbox was the real MVP and all that. So
yep. Yeah.
So truly. John, Moist North?
Moist.
It's been moist.
What's up?
I don't know.
Well, it has been more moist. So
it has. Well, yeah, we've reached the moist months.
It was freezing this morning. I got out to my car with the kids, and it was frozen over. I was like, oh, crap. Fortunately, I got the car defrosted. Yada, yada, yada. So, yeah. But John,
that's the one thing
what you
I
doing?
Like about having a garage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get you one of them remote starts.
Yeah, right.
Right.
What you doing, John?
Fighting a big old knot in my shoulder.
Ooh, I hate those.
Yeah.
And I think I got ants again too. I don't know. I just saw another ant. I'm knocking it out. Anything?
And Archer comes to mind.
Anything anything going on in the hot sauce front?
My seeds showed up.
I saw that. They look deadly. Yeah.
That one called the Count Dracula, I'm excited. The plant is black.
Ooh,
the leaves
cool.
are black, and the peppers are black until they ripen to a bright red.
When can you start growing those?
I'll probably get them started January, February-ish inside using my grow light.
Nice.
Then once the last frost passes, I can put them in a pot outside.
Sweet. That sounds awesome, man. That cool.
And then the purple UFOs. Those are really neat. The flower and the pod itself is just this striking purple.
I was going to ask, are they purple?
Yeah. And then that other one that's called the Black Panther is a cross with the ghost pepper and something else, but it's over a million Scovilles. So I've got mild, medium, and hot.
Wow. All right. Well, that sounds fun.
Dude, mild, medium, and
one
hot.
One of these days, man.
What, the devil?
One of these days, man, I got to come over there and do a hot sauce thing with you, man. We got to do a hot sauce tasting. I want to taste all these delicious hot sauces that you have and, you know, come out with a fiery butthole.
Yeah. Burn away the rest of his taste buds.
We should do that. Maybe if I ever get this studio like completely as portable as I want to, like we should like, well, your internet sucks, but I was going to say, well, actually, no, we don't need internet for that. If I'm there, we can just hook all of our mics up to like my board and do an episode of the Noob Shelter there while we're eating hot sauce. Our version of Hot Ones as a podcast.
Actually, with the meds I'm taking, I wouldn't mind trying some of that as well, because I freaking finally was, I seriously got to freaking take care of this heartburn, because there's a lot of food.
What are you on as far to help you with your heartburn?
It's just this two-week regimen. I can't remember the name of it.
Is it omeprazole?
Honestly, I can't bloody, I don't know.
I'm on omeprazole.
I got it from Costco.
It's
in a purple bottle.
Probably. I'm on omeprazole, and it is godly. And I know they sell omeprazole over the counter because I recommend it. I found out I ran out of my omeprazole meds a couple months back, but one of my roommates had bought a bottle of omeprazole over the counter from Costco, and it was like 5 milligrams less than what I normally take. So I was like, oh, hell yeah, I'm dropping that. And that was great. It was I love that stuff. It's good. Yeah, if you get your hands on that, like if you guys got acid reflux, our listeners, they're not a sponsor because we don't do sponsors because fuck that shit. But I will say that like if you guys got acid reflux or heartburn, go swing over to your local Costco and grab a bottle of omeprazole. That stuff is amazing.
Do you take it daily?
I do take it daily.
Oh,
I've been taking it nonstop. So because when I was vaping, my acid reflux was so bad from the vape juice that like my esophagus was literally getting fried to heck and back. So I had really bad stomach acid and really bad acid reflux.
Maybe it wasn't the stomach acid.
Well, we'll have to see. I mean, anything with nicotine in it, like, will do it. Even when I was on the lozenges back in the day or the gum, it would just aggravate it. It was just horrible.
Nicotine will do that.
Yeah. So until I finally give up nicotine, which is not likely going to happen anytime soon, I'm forever cursed. So, hey. But let's go ahead and move into what we got going on tonight. We got quite a bit. A couple top stories to start off with. So, you know, we have a love-hate relationship with Fallout 76. Well, namely, John has a Freybird there, has a love-hate relationship with Fallout 76, mostly hate.
Yeah.
But yeah. Back
I wanted
on,
it to be good.
Back on Wednesday, it was announced that Bethesda was going to introduce a premium membership for Fallout 76 called Fallout First. It's similar to MMO pricing, and it gives you your own private world where it can handle up to 8 players. So you and 7 other people can explore the world of Fallout 76 on your own comfortable little section of the internet. You can either pay $100 for a year-long subscription or $12.99 per month. I personally think that's kind of cool if you have a bunch of friends to play with. Now, if you don't, then $100 a year just to play Fallout 76 on your own, that's kind of meh. I mean, whatever. But I could see that being split with everybody, you know. Hey, 8 people, somebody do the math on that. What's 100 divided by 8 or 8 divided by 100?
Still.
Yeah, but isn't that, I thought that was per person.
Well, no. It's per year for a server. And you can invite up to 8 people. I believe that is the case. I don't know. That's a good question. I didn't really look into that. I did not know if that was if they have to have Fallout First to join your server. I don't see. And
most likely because you're getting extra stuff too.
Well, yeah. They wouldn't get the extra stuff. You, as the purchaser, would get the extra stuff.
Exactly. And it's, so, I mean, Bethesda has introduced Fallout First, a premium membership in quotes.
Oh, I see.
Which
I
tells
see
me
where you
that
guys are going.
It's more likely on a per-person basis.
Huh.
Yep.
We'll have to, research that. But, of course, it has, he gave me the link. Thank you.
No, that's something else that's worth checking out.
Oh, my God. I heard about that. I'm pretty sure I heard about that.
I meant to drop that link to you earlier.
That's okay. That's going to roll into the next thing here.
Yeah.
Let me clear all this. I have a bunch of tabs open here from when I was.
I guess I did have a link to drop
you
in
did.
The chat.
You did. In the Discord.
Which chat?
The Discord.
Discord.
It's under the general channel.
Oh.
Show notes go under the show notes channel, and there's only one link in there. I delete them all and repin every show.
Meow.
But, yeah, with the stupid meow. You see what I was bitching about? He put that damn cat gif in there. Anyway, but there is a lot of people pissed off about this. Bethesda's plans to offer the premium service has been met with rage from the gaming community, especially the Fallout 76 people have been raging against it. Yesterday, the publisher, this was on the 24th, so on Wednesday, the publisher revealed Fallout First is going to be a yearly fee of $100, or you could pay $13 a month. Players have been asking for private worlds since the game launched, but they never expected to have to pay for them on top of a game, a notoriously broken game, as Freebird over here, Rhython, has mentioned quite a few times.
Everything.
Yeah, everything's broken. One fan has snagged the FalloutFirst.com domain. So if you go to FalloutFirst.com, you'll see what we're
hilarious.
Talking about. It has rewit and turned it into a diatribe directed at Bethesda, while the game's Reddit boards have burst into flames, because that's what Reddit does. It always catches on fire when something bad happens. FalloutFirst.com has rewritten Bethesda's original blog post with a creative use of swearing, just in case you're in any doubt how the owner feels. Ever since Fallout 76 launched, we have constantly done nothing to improve and evolve the experience based on your shitty feedback. That's why we're excited to launch Fallout Fuck You First, a premium ass-pounding membership that offers something dumbass players have been asking for since launch. And the best part? Fuck Out Fall You First is available to screw you right now. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm looking at this falloutfirst.com. It is pretty hilarious.
1650 microtransaction points to pad my bottom line.
Wow. Scrapbox. As a slave of Fallout Fuck You First, you also pay for access to your own private scrapbox. Use the scrapbox to store all your crafting components so they aren't taking up space in your stash box. Yay, pay to win systems. The scrapbox has unlimited storage. Wait, what the fuck? Seriously? So no need to worry about picking and choosing when it comes to hoarding scrap. The sex tent.
The lazy version of Ranger armor. That one kind of pissed me off a little bit, too.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You guys got to check this out. Words cannot describe. We could read this verbatim, but, oh, my God, it is going to... You're going to laugh your asses off with the site. So it's FalloutFirst, FIRST.com. And as the logo says, Fallout First, first member fucked. fuck you. Fallout, fuck you first. I'm sorry. They had the little arrow going up there.
Yeah, don't forget the up carrot.
So that doesn't surprise me. I mean, I'll have to look into do some more research. I'll follow up on a later episode. Because I say that because if I say next episode, I know I'm going to forget about it. So how many things have I said I'll follow up in the next episode and I never have? People are still waiting for my 5G stories to come out. I'm still working on that.
We're still waiting for 5G to truly come out.
Yeah, but I have a reason. I have right. Evidence that it's going to fry our brain holes.
Yeah, so, everything fries your brain holes.
Yeah, this one's really going to fry your brain holes, though. Anyways, let's move on.
That's what they said about 4G.
So out with the dust, in with the golden fairy shit.
No, it's not golden fairy shit. We're pulling back and going to talk about all the
awesomeness that's happened over the last 24 to 48 hours. What are we referring to? And I don't mean that as like bad. I meant gold shit. Like good. If I could shit gold, I'd be rich. Outer Worlds has come to Xbox Game Pass. I am like really hyped about this. This kind of flew underneath the radar. I didn't know it was going to happen.
Oh, I do.
But I am so happy about it. So it's if so you good. Guys want to play Outer Worlds and you don't have the spare cash, but you already own an Xbox One or a PC and you have the Game Pass, you can play it right now. So as a reminder, Microsoft did announce at E3 that Game Pass is going to become the PC, and it's here. So yeah, go grab it. I mean, right now you can get it for like a dollar. I think you can get it for less than a dollar right now.
I'm sure they've got a promo.
I think it's
sort.
Like $3 for like 6 months or some crap. They got a lot of stuff going on. Xbox has been the MVP this year.
Yep.
As far as content and doing things for us players, ever since, you know, thank you Satya Nadella for firing everybody that was originally involved with Xbox One and cleaning it up. But yeah, so John got to play it. I'm sure I saw you playing it.
I've been playing the shit out of it.
You have been?
Oh man,
I want to hear. You have the con.
So it's. I immediately got flashbacks. The narrative, it feels like the old school Fallout games. It feels like New Vegas. It's well written. The characters. I haven't had a chance to go redo some like conversations to find out if they actually react differently.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like those games again, except it's space and a dystopian future where space was colonized by corporations run by some elusive dark group called the Board. So far, the story's been really good, but I'm probably only scratched the surface. I only just got off the first planet and started doing some side quests here and there.
Yeah, I've played as well. I played for about an hour on Saturday night, I want to say it was. I don't remember if it was Friday night or Saturday night. No, I played for about an hour on Friday night. I got caught up in catching up on some TV shows. I'm old, so that takes precedence. But I did play for an hour. I got to the town. What was the name of the first town that you go to after you find the shuttle? Help me out here, John. Sorry.
I'm thinking.
I'm sure everybody knows. I got that quest line where they want me to go to the greenhouse and disconnect the power and get the power coupling for my ship.
Yeah,
I like it so far. Even though I died like four times just trying to get to the ship because my FPS skills are like not on point right now. I'm getting better.
You can wander your way around too.
Oh, I'm sure I could, but you know me. I'm the kind of guy that likes to grab shit and just start blowing things up. So I gotta kill everything. Go ahead, John.
Oh no. Tell your story.
No, first. I just said it. I just like killing things and blowing shit up.
Oh. See, I didn't realize I was going to be doing this at first, but my character build is very much a discount Malcolm Reynolds.
Nice.
That is awesome.
My character build is kind of balanced right now. I think I put a lot into the skills that would be good for hacking, sneaking, and lockpicking, as well as ranged weaponry. So... And I put a bit in dexterity. I just kind of kept everything neutral with strength and with handed weapon melee. So
I loaded up on the speech skills and the leadership and the guns.
Nice, very nice.
It's just like, hi.
I do like.
Give me that. No,
I do really.
Oh, for shooting?
I love the character customizations, though. That was the first thing I saw that menu pop up. It was like, oh, I saw your skills. I'm like, wow, this is diverse. This is like some next level D&D shit here.
And
I love it.
To kind of tailor your companions too.
I didn't notice. I got the one companion. I haven't really delved into the companions yet, because, like I said, I just got the one companion following me to the greenhouse. I plan on playing more later this week or this weekend, hopefully, God willing, because I'm on call. But yeah, I'm loving the game so far. It's pretty cool.
You get to build a crew, and I've taken two of them with me on missions at one point.
Nice.
I've got a guy that prefers his grenade launcher and then one of the bats up close, and then Previa or whatever her name is.
Mm-hmm.
I've got those two.
Nice.
So I have Kaylee and damn it.
What's
his
role?
Name?
Wash?
No.
Or Jane.
Jane, thank you.
Yeah, I'm totally down with the game, though. So if you guys have an Xbox One or a PC and you have Xbox Game Pass, get it.
Yep.
Get it. I saw one of those ads for Gamefly, and they're like, oh, you can get Outer Worlds right now for $1 a month and then pay however much a month we charge you for renting the game. I'm like, I posted a thing, and they're like, or alternatively, you can just subscribe to Xbox Game Pass for like $1 for like a month and play the game free for $1 for 1 month. I don't know if my post is still up. I wouldn't be surprised if they deleted it.
Well, I'm sure it's gone.
I'm like, or if you got a PC. So, anyways, moving on. So, we here at the Noob Shelter like to talk about the various launchers out there. We have Steam. We have Epic. We have Uplay, whatever the hell that is.
Uplay.
And then we have Origin. But it looks like for some reason, some news has come out that EA might be returning back to Steam. And this came out today. So years after branching out with their own launcher, Origin, it looks like EA might soon start publishing its games on Steam again. Since the Origin store launched back in 2011, EA has released their games through their own service while avoiding Steam. Of course, that makes sense. But now we're seeing some hints that the publisher might be considering a return to Valve storefront. The big clue was a tweet from EA itself, which shows a steaming mug of presumably coffee, although suppose it's probably just filled with a cup of boiling water for the sake of the video. The specifics are immaterial. The steam is the important thing to focus on. So this story is taking the fact that like they had a mug with steam coming out of it as like this could potentially be a bullshit story.
Wow.
Although I believe it came from a reputable source. Who did it come from? It came from VG247. They're not known for their bullshit, that's for sure. Another Twitter user, Robot Bush, also pointed towards some evidence that Steam would start selling on selling their EA games again. Embedded, well, the tweet's not in here. There was another tweet there. I don't have the tweet up. I kind of deleted it because it comes over as garbledygook on my end. Implications here that you could buy the games through Steam and have them in your library, but starting them up would still require Origin's launcher. So
that's ridiculous.
I know,
why?
Right? That's kind of dumb. I don't know, but we'll have to see. I'll keep my finger on the pulse on this story and see where that goes. It would make sense because I'm pretty sure EA, nobody talks about Origin anymore. Or Uplay. I'm sure Ubisoft's even been talking about, I've heard rumors down the pipeline that they've been talking about closing their store and going to a different platform, possibly Epic.
Yeah, they are. Their plan, that's the plan because Ubisoft, which isn't Ubisoft's Uplay?
Yep. Yeah.
Is Uplay. It would make a lot of sense for them to actually move away from a platform that no one really uses and just go back to Steam.
Right.
Right. So I had I want to move on to other gaming news. I did have a news article there, but I want to actually look at this myself before I report on it. Apparently there's a new mobile King of the Fighters game that somebody reported on, and I was going to talk about it, but I want to play the game first and then I will give my insights on it. Because I'm a big fighting fanatic. I like fighting games. So, I will let you know how that fares.
Don't argue or he will fight you.
Yeah, I will fight. I'll fight you. But, we talked about Mario Kart Tour a while back. Apparently so far in its first month, it's gotten 129 million downloads.
Yeah, I already lost.
I can see that.
Yeah. I mean, it is I've played it for almost a month now. I'm sure you have as well too, John. Mike, have you been playing it?
I have, but I've lost interest in it. It's just, I mean, the gameplay is all right, but the controls are just,
yeah, again, just the controls, the yeah, we talked about that.
And you can't race with your friends yet either, so.
Not yet. I'm pretty sure that's coming down the pipeline. So, you know, we talked, Nintendo announced Mario Kart mobile game back in January of 2018. The game was delayed until summer of 2019. It finally launched on September 25th. It's free to play on Android and iOS. But of course there are pay features there that will, that will amplify the game. Mostly the big pay feature is the monthly gold license or gold pass that you can pay $5 a month for, which I'm not a fan of, and it will help you unlock additional items. Alternatively, you can save up your gems and try your luck at the pipe, which is a random character or cart or flyer generated system.
Random item generator.
Thank you.
Loot
random
box.
Item generator. Yeah, it's a loot box. And each pool on that is like 5 rubies or 5 gems.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to do that, you might as well do the 45 for 10.
Yeah, or alternatively do what I've been kind of doing, you know, use your gems and do the coin run and get some coins and stock up on those and buy the characters as they're available in the store.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been kind of doing. But anyways, yeah, 129 million downloads. That's not bad. Mario Kart Tour is Nintendo's most successful mobile game in terms of downloads. It's trailed by Super Mario Run, which has at this time 21.8 million. Second to Fire Emblem Heroes, which is not surprising. That is up to 67.6 million. I don't see any notes here on Dr. Mario World, so I'm assuming that hasn't really done well. But everyone's
probably
been
not.
Everybody was bitching that it's a Candy Crush clone, so.
Are you surprised?
No, I'm not. I'm not surprised at all. So we have a new segment that we're going to talk about here. We talked a couple weeks ago, or an episode ago, or two episodes ago. I don't remember. We talked a while ago about Ninja leaving Twitch. Well, it looks like he's not the only one going. So with that, let's get into the great Twitch migration of 2019. That's right. We even got a little song here. Anyway, so let's go ahead and knock that down there. So we heard, like I said, Ninja left for Mixer, and it looks like another streamer, a very well-known streamer, Shroud, is the second in line to jump off of Twitch. I don't blame him. Twitch has become quite the cesspool of the online streaming community as of recent. So Michael Shroud Gerzeski, or Gerzeisk, Shroud, we're just going to call him Shroud, is the latest Twitch megastar to abandon the Amazon-owned streaming service in favor of Microsoft's Mixer platform. Shroud, a former professional Counter-Strike Go player, made his announcement on Twitter on today, the 28th. His first stream is today at 8 p.m. Eastern, so it's happened, over. Or that's done and over with. He jokes in the announcement video that he's making moves following in the same footsteps as another popular streamer, Ninja. Ninja Belvins left his home on Twitch in August to stream exclusively on Mixer earlier this year and shook the streaming industry to its core. Both Shroud and Ninja are two of the gaming world's most watched streamers, and both came up through Twitch after retiring from professional play. If you guys didn't know, Ninja was a former Halo pro before transitioning to the Battle Royale genre. Ninja commented on Shroud's move on Twitter, calling it a massive move for the platform and the streaming industry. It may come as a surprising move to fans, especially since Shroud saw Ninja departure as a chance for him to grow his own brand on Twitch. You know, he's like, hey man, Ninja's gone. It's all me, baby. Gotta take advantage. Still, his move is proof that Twitch's top talent isn't as tied to the streaming service as people would like to think. And they're all jumping ship. Whether it's due to financial deals or the community, or burnout and lingering issues on Twitch, streamers are starting to look elsewhere. So one of the things that's just one of the streamers that is going bye-bye. Another streamer announced today that he is also leaving Twitch. King Gothalion is leaving Twitch for Mixer as well. Following in the footsteps of Ninja and Shroud, a third Twitch streamer, Corey King Golathion Michael, is leaving the platform for Mixer. Michael has about over a million followers on Twitch, where he mainly streams Destiny 2 and Borderlands 3. And while he may not be as big of a name as Ninja or Shroud, he still has a pretty dedicated fan base that's going to follow him wherever he goes. So he released a video in which he explains the decision, stressing the value of having platform-level input. He is quoted as saying, working closer with Microsoft and Xbox is not only going to help us propel what we're doing, but help us propel what's always been important to the channel, which is doing good in gaming. Everything from helping broadcasters establish themselves, mentioning growing broadcasters, raising money for charity, and putting on events like Guardian Con at GCX. So he's going to be streaming exclusively on Mixer from October 29th, which is tomorrow, though he'll say he'll appear as a guest on stream broadcasts on other platforms. So, yeah, the ship is sinking. The rats are starting to leave. What do you guys think?
Yep.
I figured it was just a matter of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. The chat especially is what burns most of them out.
Yeah, because it's just they either gotta hire people to monitor the chat, kind of like how I had you volunteer and monitor the chat, even though there wasn't really much of anything to do. Or they got to pay attention to the chat themselves while they're gaming to make sure nobody's saying anything stupid. And Amazon or Twitch, whoever you want to call them, doesn't seem too inclined to fix any of the issues that these streamers are having. So I usually don't go to third-party sites to get stupid lists because I think lists are stupid. This one actually kind of caught my eye, and I think it'd make a good discussion topic for this story. This is coming from Dexerto.com, and they ask which five streamers are more likely to leave Twitch and move to Mixer. So let's just kind of go down the list here. The first streamer that they talk about is Felix Langiel, XQC. XQC went from Overwatch Pro to one of Twitch's most hype variety streamers. The former Overwatch League Pro turned streamer is one of Twitch's most controversial yet entertaining stars. He's French-Canadian and originally made a name for himself as an Overwatch tank player, specializing in his skills with the hero Winston. While his time in the Overwatch League was short-lived and filled with controversy, that drama helped him grow his popularity. So he's known for that. Probably, I mean, I'm not sure how big Microsoft and Mixer are going to want to get with controversy. He would probably be, though. I mean, if he's not being too much of a D-bag now, as their next suggestion, I think he would find a good home over there at Mixer. Now, this one, number two, I seriously doubt he's going to get on Mixer and they're going to kick his ass off within a day. Dr. Disrespect. Yeah, where's my boo? I don't have my boo, yeah. That guy's just an idiot. I know it's a persona, but he's an idiot. Could Shroud and Dr. Disrespect continue their rivalry on Mixer? Probably not. Shouldn't come as a shock that the two-time makes the list, as it's near impossible to talk about streaming without mentioning Senior Doctor. Disrespect talks the talks, back it up, and does so with what is arguably the best production out of any streamer on Mixer, Twitch, YouTube, or Facebook. His stream intro is iconic. The graphics are top-notch, and overall his broadcast is more of a show than a standard stream. That's true.
Yeah, it is.
He isn't locked down on any one game. He, like Shroud, he specializes in first-person shooters like Apex Legends and Call of Duty. He's in his mid-30s, but despite that, the two-time can hold his own against the best of the best and is known to clutch out highlight reel plays on a consistent basis. So, I mean, I guess it depends on where Microsoft wants to take Mixer. I mean, it could be. I mean, that's not a bad pick, but I don't think he'd last long on there. Asmongold, unlike any of the streamers on this list, Asmongold specializes in one game. Under most circumstances, that could be a bad thing, but not when the game is World of Warcraft. So he's a Warcraft streamer. He's a Texas native. He's not just a great WoW player. He plays the game in style. Whether it's commanding his aliens in battle while Lord of the Rings music appropriately plays in the background or giving a hot take about a recent gaming controversy, Zach delivers. He's a mammoth on Twitch. He's the third most watched channel overall, according to Twitch metrics, which is incredible considering he's just a Warcraft streamer. Again, I'm not exactly sure. They got a lot of these controversy type people. Ninja's kind of PG, so is Shroud. I never really watched much of the other guy, King Goliathon, so I'm not exactly sure what he's like. I've heard of Dr. Disrespect, who hasn't? I'm not really heard of XQC. I think I've heard of Asmongold. This guy here, Pokimane, or this girl here, Pokimane, she is a female streamer, and she could be the number one female. She's currently the number one female streamer on Twitch, and they're asking if she could be the one on Mixer. So when it comes to female streamers, who strives on creating the best content possible, few come close to competing against Pokimane. She is Moroccan-Canadian. and keeps the drama to a minimum, unlike any of the other big name females, and hasn't relied on controversy to build up her brand. Oh yeah, if she's a female gamer, I'm sure Mixer's gonna try to swoop her away. She's 23 years old. She boasts over 1.3 million followers, about 4 million followers on Instagram, and on Twitter she's got 1.3 million followers. On Instagram she's got 4 million, and on Twitch she's got 3.5 million followers. So I'm not exactly sure what she's streaming. It doesn't say here. I'll have to check her out. I'm assuming with a name like that, it's probably Pokemon related. And then the last streamer is Moon Moon. Moon Moon apparently rarely shows his face. So when it comes to variety, Moon Moon is another streamer whose entertaining personality would be a lock-in for Mixer. Moon Moon plays everything from Diablo to Super Mario Maker, and having a popular Nintendo streamer in particular join the platform's ranks could tap into a very unique market. Since joining Twitch in 2016, Moon has amassed nearly 900,000 followers, and according to Twitch metrics, is number 38 in the most watched streamer category. So that is an interesting list. Do you guys have any thoughts on who may or may not jump? Anybody that I did not mention?
Nope. I don't know much when it comes to the streamers.
Me either.
I
know some based on, you know, the stories that we've done and stuff that I've, you know, researched. That's something I'll keep. I will keep an eye on that because I'm hoping that we can get more migrations before the end of 2019. How many do you think are going to jump ship before the new year? That's a good question. Mike, you go first. How many? If you could take a guess, how many you think are going to jump ship before December 31st?
Before December 31st? I mean,
2 months.
I don't know. I don't necessarily think that there's going to be too many. Mainly because, I mean, Ninja did announce this a while back, and it's only like it's been mainly a trickle as far as people like specifically cutting ties with everything else and going over to Mixer. I actually wouldn't be surprised if there are many who are still streaming to Twitch, but who are also like adding Mixer to their rotation.
That would be interesting. Okay. John, what about you? What do you think? Do you have a number, or do you think along the same lines as Mike, or?
42.
42. You bastards! Of course, 42.
Yep.
Yeah, you should have been prepared for that one.
Science.
Yeah.
Honestly, the you know, my main reasoning for it though is I think they're going to be just doing rotations between, because just to see what the environment's like.
Right.
And if it is more favorable than Twitch is, then it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility that they just move over.
Well, unlike you guys, I like to throw all my money in the pot. I'm gonna say four more streamers are gonna jump ship, and they're gonna be big names.
That's all your money, huh? Yep. You don't have very much money, do you?
Well, I didn't bet how much money I was gonna throw in it. I was just gonna say, hey, I'm gonna put all my money in the pot and say four more are gonna jump into the mix, like, and they're gonna go exclusive.
Major streamers?
Four more. I think it's going to be. Now, I'm usually okay with my predictions, and I'm going to make a note here. I'm going to write it down right now. Where's my damn notepad? To come back at this, I'm going to put it in my calendar. Let me get my phone. I put it in my calendar to come back and listen to this to see if I was right or wrong. But I'm predicting at least two or three more major streamers are going to jump from Twitch to Mixer. And one somewhat known, but not really, like, you know, like how Moon Moon only has like 900,000 followers. Somebody around that line, not necessarily Moon Moon, but somebody in that line of like followers is going to jump ship to Mixer. It's going to be somebody who's actually just, it's going to be a new story. So four Twitch streamers are going to jump ship and go to Mixer.
Okay.
I'm calling it right now. Bye. No later than December 31st, 2019 at 11:59 p.m. Pacific time. Anybody that jumps ship after that, they don't count.
That's oddly specific.
What about Hawaiians?
Fuck Hawaii.
Whoa.
We don't have anybody listening from Hawaii.
True Colors came out.
But
tonight.
If you're from Hawaii, I don't mean no ill will. It's just I work on Pacific time. I like to focus on one time zone. So I'm using my time zone as the buffer. So once they get past, once it passes Pacific time, then it's officially 2020 in my book. So
I see.
Yeah. Wasn't meaning as a as an insult. I love Hawaii. Sure. And your dog, the bounty hunter, too.
Nice save.
Yeah. Yay! Moving on to the trash can, because a lot of this crap is trash. So WWE 2K20 came out, and it's a dumpster fire.
Of course it is.
Oh, wrong button. I hit the wrong button there. I'm done. Okay, I'm not.
That about. Was absolutely hilarious, though. You did that.
Yay!
Wah,
wah, wah, wah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's a dumpster fire.
That was yay! Horrible. Yeah, I like the it is a dumpster fire because I don't know who's developing the new game. I haven't really been keeping track. So, here's a little aside on this game.
EA was a part of that.
Here's a little, we'll get to that in a second. Here's a little aside on this. It's still 2K, but the developer Yuke's, who worked with 2K to develop, you know, the WWE games, is no longer a part of the equation. And that's probably why this game is such a dumpster fire. So an aside to go with the story, one of my roommates, somebody that I know who will remain nameless, pirated 2K20 for the PC and confirms that it is in fact a dumpster fire. It is a horrible game, almost along the lines of that one Batman game that they tried to release for PC that bombed real big. Do you guys remember which one that was? That was garbage. They actually ended up pulling that game. Well, WWE 2K20 is such a mess that Sony, not the developer, Sony is offering refunds to its customers. So 2K20 is a true mess, and while it might be pretty funny for the casual observer, wrestling fans who paid actual money for the game are understandably pissed. A patch is apparently on the way, but considering the state the game is in right now, you'd have reason to not be optimistic that a single patch is going to fix all the problems. To that end, Sony is stepping in to issue refunds for customers who bought the broken game. This is as per Eurogamer reports. It looks like refund requests on this title are being processed very quickly. It is likely that there is a high number of them coming in and the game is legitimately faulty. Back in August, and this is kind of where all this starts from, longtime WWE developer Yuke's parted ways with 2K Games. August was not long ago, of course, and it seems that Visual Concepts, the new group that's working with 2K, is having a hard time getting the game up to the standards expected by the fans. I am a wrestling fan. I will not shell out money for any of the 2K WWE games because they don't play the way I like them to play. There was one wrestling game many moons ago that I was exposed to back when I was really heavy into, when I was in my teens, back when I was really heavy into wrestling, called WWF No Mercy. This is back when they were WWF too. WWF No Mercy, and it was for the N64.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was the most beautiful wrestling game I have ever played. It was easy to pick up. It was easy to mess shit up in a good way, not in a bad way. It was just perfect. You could customize your characters perfectly, throw in move sets, reset the intro video and the music. If you had a game pack, you could store a whole bunch of them. It was just great. You could create your own characters that weren't in the game because they had similar move sets. Like Hulk Hogan wasn't in the game, but they had a move set that Hulk Hogan used when he was part of WWF at the time, that you could create your own Hulk Hogan character. And they had a lot of the stuff there. And it was good. The story was good. The unlockables were good. It was a good game. And I wish, I forgot who developed that. I think it was THQ. I don't remember.
I think it was.
Yeah, THQ, man, they knew what they were doing. The game prior to that, WrestleMania 2000, was pretty good. They built on top of that. The WCW games were pretty good. that was just like a good time for wrestling. But now, ever since they came out with the SmackDown games on PlayStation, I just fell out of favor with it. I was like, this is stupid. It's like way too much customization. I just want to make a character, throw in a couple movesets, and be good. I don't care about his eyebrow height. You know? It's like, come on. Anyway, so. Yeah, I'm not surprised that this is a shit show here. Here's some more trash. So, Epic Games. I don't know if you guys heard or not. I'm sure all of our Fortnite players out there that listen to the podcast know what's going on. So a couple weeks ago, there was a big in-game event with Fortnite where a bunch of rockets shot out of something's ass, landed on the map and sucked everything into a black hole, and the game was offline for like 48 to 72 hours.
Everyone was freaking out.
Because the whole world of Fortnite ended. Well, they brought it back with Fortnite 2, or Fortnite Chapter 2 is what they're calling it, Season 1. But somebody spilt the details on it, and Epic Games is pissed. So Epic Games is suing a game tester for breaking their NDA and spoiling some aspects of Chapter 2, Season 1 before it was released. Filing the civil complaint in North Carolina, Epic alleges tester Ronald Sykes of sharing details of Chapter 2 ahead of launch at the expense of Epic and those in the Fortnite community who were anxiously waiting for the new season of Fortnite. This was originally reported by Polygon. Sykes, who previously used the Twitter handle InvisibleLlama9, because that's original, before the account was deleted, is accused of tweeting another Twitter user late in September stating, "Played season 11 and can tell you the new stuff." Using an alternate account, Sykes is also alleged to have revealed further undisclosed information, including an image of the map and confirmation that players could swim in Fortnite Chapter 2. As a direct result of Sykes' breach of his contractual obligations under his NDA, the lawyer is quoted as saying, Epic has sustained and will continue to sustain damages in an amount to be determined.
What?
Yeah.
You bastard!
Wrong one.
Bullshit.
That's the one I was going for. Let's just emphasize that with an exclamation point.
Bullshit.
Okay, first of all, you didn't lose money. Nope. It was a spoiler. People are still going to pay for your shit. I get that the guy broke an NDA and you should go after him for busting the NDA. I get that. I'm all about that. I am a strong proponent of NDAs. I've still, even though I'm pretty sure mine has passed, I signed an NDA with a game company when I did testing, and I will not name who, what, where, when, why, even though this was several years ago. But
was the game released?
Yes.
Then that's when the NDA is up.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Well, I'm still not going to say anything anyways. So the lawsuit added that a trade secret is information that is valuable because it is secret. And if it loses its secrecy, it loses its value. Information is currency, the lawsuit said. Sykes cashed in on what he learned as a user experience tester for Epic. He did so at the expense of Epic and those in the Fortnite community who were anxiously awaiting for the new season of Fortnite, only to have some Epic's planned surprises spoiled by Sykes' leak. Again.
Oh my God.
Bullshit.
So, consequently, Epic is seeking injunctive relief and damages for misappropriation of trade secrets by way of a civil action lawsuit. It is also asked that Sykes compensates Epic for a sum certain reflecting the maximum amount of damages permitted under the law, as well as the developer's legal costs. This dude is gonna go bankrupt. He fucked up. And what is the lesson that we learned today, kids? If you sign an NDA and you're going to spoil it, hide your shit. Hide your tracks. Don't, or just don't say anything and just wait a couple days.
Right.
Jeez. So more trash. We talked about Blizzard last episode and how, you know, they defend China.
Donald Trump, don't trust China. China is asshole.
Well, Blizzard is still moving forward with its BlizzCon, and it announced its schedule this year for BlizzCon, which is set to take place this coming weekend, actually, on November 1st. So I'll have to keep tabs on that if I can. Though the schedule doesn't give specific announcements, it does give insight as to when to tune in for the possibility of news and said announcements. So the Fest, the whole shebang is going to kick off as usual with the opening ceremony at 11 a.m. on November 1st, Pacific time. All times are in Pacific, which will be simulcast across all of its stages. Traditionally, the open ceremony is where the company outlines its blah, 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 strokes its own penis, busts a nut on everybody, and says we're golden gods. Some of those game-centric panels include, they're going to have some panels throughout the weekend. It's going to include Heroes of the Storm update, Hearthstone update, World of Warcraft update on November 2nd, Overwatch update. There's no Diablo update, even the update listed, but there are two art panels scheduled for 10:30 a.m. and 4:15 p.m. on November 2nd. Now, there have been rumors going around that we're getting a Diablo 4. I mean, I know it's coming, but there's been leaks of like artwork and little bits here and there of Diablo 4 is officially coming at some point. And Overwatch 2. Let's stop there. Okay.
Maybe.
Why the hell are we getting an Overwatch 2? Why don't you just update Overwatch?
Right.
I don't. That's stupid. Anyways, hopefully that's going to all lead into announcements in the opening ceremonies if they pan out. None of that is confirmed, however. The big thing is the community is also going to be paying a close attention to Blizzard this weekend in hopes that they're going to respond to all the bullshit that's been going on with them banning people, Hong Kong, and China. So we'll have to wait and see. And I will have my audacity up to record any dumpster fire language that comes out of that shithole. So we're going to take a stretch here, and we're going to move on to some non-video game shit. First of all, this isn't on the dock, but I did want to make note out there. If anybody's interested, bust out your computers or laptops or tablets or phones. Jump on YouTube and search for the Mandalorian trailer and have yourself a good time. The Mandalorian trailer that's going to be coming, the new show that's going to be on Disney Plus this year, they have a trailer for it now, and it looks freaking amazing. Other Disney Plus news that's not on the docket. Apparently, Ewan McGregor has lied to us for the last couple of years, because it was finally announced, and he finally let loose that there is, in fact, a live-action Obi-Wan TV show coming to Disney Plus, and he will be reprising his role as Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Nice.
I am excited about that. There is one thing, though, coming to Disney Plus that I am not excited about, and I don't know how I feel about this. So it is Halloween, everybody. You know, it is the time to get all pretty, dressed as a ghost or a Ghostbuster or a princess or you know, something, and, you know, go out and get some free candy or go out and get drunk and have a good time. TP a house. Throw eggs at cars. So with that, of course, we always have our seasonal movies. I don't know what you guys watch, but one of the two or three biggest things that we watch here at the house, or that I watch on Halloween, because it just gives me that Halloween-y feel. One of them is Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Even though it's not really a Halloween movie, it's still funny as hell to watch. And Halloween gives me an excuse to watch it. Everyone's like, you don't like horror movies. I'm like, I'm watching clowns turn people into cotton candy cocoons and drink their juices. That's scary shit right there, man. Clowns are freaking nutty.
Wow.
I'm not scared of clowns. I'm just saying that those guys. And then, of course, Ernest Scared Stupid. I don't know if anybody's ever seen that one. With the trolls.
It's been forever.
The trolls. That is freaky as fuck, man. And then, of course, Hocus Pocus.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then, of course, as a bonus, of course, Nightmare Before Christmas, which dubs as a Halloween movie and a Christmas movie. You know,
it's a Thanksgiving movie.
It's an everything movie. Well, you can watch it on Thanksgiving. You can watch it on Halloween. You can watch it on Christmas. Nope. But yeah, you know, I watched that on Halloween, too, with the kids. But yeah, Hocus Pocus is the other one. Well, I found out that they're making a sequel to Hocus Pocus.
They're trying to.
Yeah.
So, Sanderson sisters waited about 300 years to return on All Hallows' Eve. Probably won't have to wait that long to get a sequel to Hocus Pocus. A new report that some fans will find quite lovely, says Disney Plus is currently developing a follow-up to the 1993 cult classic that starred Bette Midler, Kathy Najimy, and Sarah Jessica Parker as three soul-sucking witches. And even though the last time we saw the children hating siblings, they had been turned to dust, the Mouse House is looking for a way to bring them all back to a new story. Collider reports that Disney Plus has hired Workaholics writer and co-producer Jen D'Angelo to pen a script for the sequel to the 1993's movie. D'Angelo has apparently been told to find a way to bring back the Sanderson sisters, though neither Midler, Najimy, or Parker are formally attached to the project yet. Disney Plus is hoping or optimistic that all three will be involved somehow, though it is unknown if they will return in main roles or as bit characters while a new generation of witches takes on the mantle of terrorizing the good people of Salem. Or it could even be a new location. So that's possibly coming down the pipeline. I'm going to kind of barrel through these real quick here. More streaming news. We found out that so DirecTV Now is actually going to be renamed to AT&T TV Now. They're going to do all the rebranding later in 2020. But there are talks now that HBO Max, which we talked about a couple episodes ago, which is HBO with, like, you know, NBC stuff and like all the old shows and stuff like that,
yep,
will eventually be eating up AT&T TV Now or DirecTV Now, and becoming its own thing. Because what's happening is AT&T is losing money on DirecTV. They're losing money on DirecTV Now because they charge too much for their shit, so everyone's going to cheaper alternatives. And there are cheaper, yep, alternatives out there if you do not want basic, if you want, do not want your local channels. What
even
is
if
that?
You do.
Even if you do, there are still cheaper alternatives. So they're looking at a window of changing DirecTV Now to AT&T TV Now sometime later in the year. They're also going to be releasing HBO Max next year. I also found out that HBO Max is going to be included with anybody who is a DirecTV subscriber. So, hey, that's cool. I kind of have a underground DirecTV account. So, yeah, so I can get my HBO Go. That's how I get my HBO Go.
Underground satellites. Whoa.
Yeah. Deep, deep, deep underground. I'll have to tell you.
That's deep state shit.
Oh, it's very deep state. Well, anyway, so if you're an AT&T subscriber or DirecTV subscriber, you're going to be getting HBO Max for free. Doesn't say how long, but it's coming down the pipe. And then finally, on our streaming age stuff, apparently Sony is losing money with PlayStation Vue and is looking to sell it. I'm not surprised. PlayStation Vue is a piece of shit.
Yep.
Or at least it was. I mean, they've been going through price hikes. They've recently increased their stuff to $5 of July of this year. Sony's got no balls. They cannot negotiate whatsoever with anybody. They have no negotiation skills when it comes to broadcast TV. So that's why they're being taken for a ride. And I mean, you got Fubo and all the other ones out there. Those guys know what they're doing. So no word yet as to who's planning on buying PlayStation Vue, just know that it's up for sale. We're almost at the tail end here. We're going to run a little over, so I apologize.
Yeah,
I'm a bastard. So why is this a thing? Apparently the most expensive Pokemon card on Earth sold for about almost $200,000.
And how expensive baseball, etc., Magic, which whatever you have.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, I never just got the whole card thing, you know.
It's a collectible card though.
Yeah.
Okay, well, how about this?
I'm not going to go out and buy Black Lotus anytime soon.
No. Right.
It was just recently announced that hey, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, go ahead.
It was just recently announced that the sweater that Kurt Cobain wore during MTV Unplugged Live recently sold for $334,000.
Oh, jeez. Right? Oh, my God. Yeah, I saw that. I think I saw that in passing on my Facebook feed. So anyways, this Pokemon card is called Pikachu Illustrator. It's a promo card given out to winners of a comic contest that was held back in Japan in 97 and 98. There were 39 of those cards awarded. It's believed only 10 are still in existence today, making each one of them insanely valuable.
Yep.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought that was just kind of what? And then I put this under something we missed, but I remember talking about it. So we talked about a long time ago, Xbox All Access. Do you guys remember what that was?
No.
No? That was the ability to plunk down $20 a month and own an Xbox.
Oh, it was an Xbox payment plan.
Yes, exactly. We talked about it when they announced their digital Xbox coming out. They're all okay. Digital, no drive. It was in there. We missed it. I mean, we didn't miss it. We talked about it. It just kind of went over the radar. They're bringing it back where you can pay either $20 a month for an Xbox One digital console, $23 a month for an Xbox One S, or $31 a month for an Xbox One X. And the payment plans are for 48 months.
24.
You're right. 24 months. I'm sorry. I thought
seriously? I mean, 24 months is a bit excessive.
That is a bit excessive. And if you do the math, I did the math, but I forgot to write it down. Let me get my calculator out here.
Xbox One S digitals are like $200 right now.
So for an Xbox One X, you pay $31 a month for 24 months. You're going to be paying $744 for that console. You can get an Xbox One X cheap. Take the $31 a month. Don't get that. Put it in your account, in your savings account, and then half the time you're going to have the money for an Xbox One X. Patience. Right. But here's the thing. This is why they brought it back. Because for those of you who decide to plunk down and do the Xbox All Access payment plan, you have the opportunity to get an upgrade for Project Scarlet. Microsoft announced that Xbox All Access will include an option to upgrade to Project Scarlet when the new console launches in late 2020. Now, Microsoft said that those who buy an Xbox One with All Access will be able to upgrade to Project Scarlet once the next-gen console launches. Customers will have needed to complete at least 18 payments prior to the upgrade and will need to visit the same shop where they bought the current console and its subscription. In this instance, the only place you can buy it here in the United States is on Amazon.com. If the console is in acceptable condition and the user has a good standing with the country-specific financing partner, the customer will be able to swap it for a Project Scarlet with deferred payments. That's not bad, but again, you're still going to be paying double it for the life of the console, you know, like your payments.
Exactly. And see, that's the turnaround. It's like you either pay a fixed amount now, or you put it on a payment plan and you pay twice that over time.
Or I'll just take the money that I'm going to get in my tax return, put it in a savings account, and when Scarlet releases next year, take the money out of my account and go buy it.
If you could buy
it. Can I have your Xbox One S?
I'll think about it. Anyways, get a quick shot. One quick shot. I did that intentionally because this is a big one. Death Stranded coming to PC next summer.
Nice.
Woo! Sorry, I'm just happy about that. Kojima Productions made the announcement via Twitter today, and currently there are no other details. Just looking for Death Stranded coming to PC next summer. So,
and it won't be Epic exclusive.
Nah, probably not. Sony.
He is very much against that.
Yep, and that'll wrap it up for this late version of the Noob Shelter.
10 minutes long.
Yeah, it's okay. I try to keep us under 60 minutes or less. I try. I really do. But not everybody can do that thing. So. But yeah, so I think that was a pretty straightforward show. I want to thank you guys broadcasting live from deep. Almost, well, not broadcasting. Recording almost live from deep underneath the city of Tacoma, Washington in the Noob Shelter Bunker. Thank you all for listening. I am Matt Fugitive. And, of course, Freebird Rhythone John is with us. We don't know what the hell to call him anymore. And Fade to Black Mike is with us. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Thank you, guys, for helping out with the show. NoobShelter.com/donate. Give us your money. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night.
And I got a fun end of show mix here that I got off of, about Twitch off of YouTube. It's from 2016, 2017.
Uh-oh.
Still kind of relevant. It's fun. All right. Have a good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Smash it.